All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Tonight we're going to be talking about dead sticks. What is a dead stick? When do we use them? Why do we use them? So we're going to get into this topic. This is something that I know that over the years we've done a lot of tournament angling, fishing, you know, tournaments and stuff. And a lot of times it's hard to run two rods when you're jigging and whatnot. So when the time is right, use a dead stick. Because I'm telling you, we've caught a lot of really good quality fish on dead sticks.
Sure.
So what is a dead stick? Well, for those that haven't.
Well, who's the oldest out of all of us? Is that Brad?
No. No, that's me.
You're the oldest?
I'm the oldest, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I bet Mitch knows more about having a dead stick than the rest of us, buddy.
Anyway. Here we go again.
Here we go. All right. So anyways, other than that, what...
Well, you know, the thing is, like, back in the Midwest, most of the states, not all of them, but most of them, you can only fish one rod,
right,
you know, in open water. So, you know, a lot of... Back home in Minnesota, there's probably not a lot of people that in their boat are used to fishing a dead stick,
right?
Unless they're poachers, yeah. You know, but hey,
no, if your rules and regs in your state allow it, by
yeah,
all means.
Yep, exactly. Now ice fishing, they, you know, that's kind of, even to be honest with you, that's when I first started fishing a dead stick, was, you know, jigging in one hole, let my dead stick sit in the other hole.
Identify a dead stick.
Oh, okay.
That's where we're going.
A dead
first.
Stick would be just a rod set up in a rod holder, or in, you know, where you're not touching it. It's just sitting there. So, you know, you could have something just a few inches off the bottom of your bait. You know, we were just talking about drop shot rigs and dead sticking them. So there's a lot of applications, but it's dead. You're not touching it. You're not giving it action.
You're not actively involved in it.
You drop it down to the zone. If you're fishing 15 feet of water, you drop it down 15 feet, crank it up. So now it's at 14 or whatever, and just let it sit there.
So what is your idea, or both of yours ideas, if there's more than one, of what is... Well, what's a great application for a dead stick? Give me an example of when you would use a dead stick and why. And is it...
Okay, so if we are anchored on a spot, whether that's spot lock with our trolling motor, or we're actually physically anchored, casting a shoreline because we know wind blowing or whatever, we know that area has been holding fish and we're catching fish and we're actively casting. It's hell to pay to cast two rods in reel and at the same time, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's
pretty
tough.
Tricky.
And here in Colorado, you can get a second rod stamp, so you're allowed to have two rods each angler.
Right.
So if we're fishing that shallows and we're casting up shallow, and we're in that, let's just say 15 feet of water sitting out on that break, and we got active fish up shallow, they move in and out. We all know that all the fish aren't shallow. They're all moving in and out. So we will drop down. I usually use a jig. Just a quarter ounce jig head, drop it straight down with a half crawler and pick it up 6-10 inches off the bottom and just let it sit there.
Almost like the boat's a slip bobber.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I set it in my rod holder, set it out straight out from the side of my boat and just watch it's off to my left. So if I'm casting, I can still see it out of the corner of my eye. And just the natural movement of the boat is going to make that rod tip go up and down nice and easy. It's working. And there, I can tell you, out of all the days on the water that we end up casting, that there is a lot of times that dead sticks outfish the presentation that we're casting. Not always, but sometimes it does. And you're just like, what in the heck? What's going on?
Right.
But it's because it's subtle. It's where the fish are maybe migrating in and out of off of that structure or up that bank, and they're coming in, and it's the first thing they see, and they grab it. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done it. Lindy rigging. Even when we're lindy rigging, now that's an active movement. And you can talk about it if you want.
He just stole mine.
Yeah. Well, it's going. You can't get him to stop. It's like, geez.
Well, it got to me thinking when we were doing that up on Mac.
Oh, yeah.
Look, he's turning red. Yeah. He didn't even get a breath in.
So, you know, in that whole, we're out in a little bit deeper water casting up to shore, you know, we're fishing the shoreline, so let's drop a dead stick down. But the reverse happens too, where, hey, here we are on the break, you know, 25 yards from the shoreline, and we're vertical jigging. And it's like, look at that. Now I want to cast for a little bit. Well, what are you going to do? You know,
right.
Again, it's, tough to cast with one hand and jig with the other. No, then all of a sudden the jigging rod can become the dead stick, and I can cast a couple times. You know, right. Switch the buck out.
Yeah.
But what Brad was saying with Lindy rigging, that was probably one of the first times we really, I think, dead sticked.
Really did it, and that was the first time we had the sled jigs, and you can talk about.
Yeah, well, sleddies. Yeah. Well, you know, with Lindy rigging, you pretty much have to, you know, it's almost a two hand job, you know, to hold your line with the bail open, feel the bite, close your bail, set the hook, and everything. It's pretty tough to lindy rig with a rod in both hands. Now, I've done it, and you can do it.
Well, for the skilled fisherman, it's not done.
Yeah.
So you've never done it.
So, so I'll show you this summer.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that.
But there again, you know, now we're focused with that one main rod, that lindy rod, and we're really focused
especially
on
feeling
the
bite is subtle.
Oh, you know, you bet. You know, everybody that lindy rigs knows how fun that is, you know, and that little game. Well, there you go. We'll drop another jig down, and we're drifting. You know, we're drifting the wind, half mile an hour, whatever. Let that baby drag. You know,
we've caught.
Brad's not kidding. We have caught a bunch of fish on the dead stick.
Yeah,
and a few keepers too.
Yeah,
and they go right in the box, just like the cool fish. You know, that we caught lindy rigging.
Right. So if you guys. When you dead stick and in the dead stick theme, do you consider if you were to set your dead stick up with a slip bobber the same type of thing?
Well, slip bobber is a non-active thing. It's doing about the same thing, right? You cast that out to a stump or
whatever.
Break or whatever you're fishing, and it's doing the same thing as the dead stick. So guys got to keep that in mind. If it's an area to where you're going to be slip bobbering, and if the wind, especially when the wind's swirling, everybody knows it's hard to run. Four, if there's me and Mitch in the boat, four slip bobbers.
Sure.
Because just the way it drifts,
right.
The way that it drifts. Mm-hmm. So for management of that, we have done that a million times too, is where Mitch usually runs in the front of the boat. So he'll cast way off to the right to whatever his structure is. I'll cast off to the left. And then we'll run our dead sticks right off the middle. And I can look off at my bobber, watch my dead stick. Sometimes I pick that dead stick up because it's usually a jig and a crawler. Cast it, work it back, let it sit.
Okay, so now you guys don't. Brad, jump ahead of me. All right, now let's break it down so we know exactly how to set up a dead stick and what is good. Okay, so just follow me for a second. Rod and reel, favorite rod and reel combo for a dead stick.
Just me or him?
Both of you. What is your favorite?
I'm just trying not to. Yeah. I
don't want to step on your toes here.
Go ahead, Mitch.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mitch.
You know, I'm gonna go with the 6'6" rod,
so
7 foot, my jigging rod. Yeah,
okay.
I'm not real picky about it, and I've even set dead sticks up on an ultralight, thinking, okay, since I don't have that rod's not gonna be in my hand to feel the bite. That's way softer light action of an ultralight would give me just a little more time for the fish to get the bait.
Almost like an ice fishing rod. Yeah,
yeah, kind of seeing the fish on my dead stick and getting to it and setting the hook. Yeah, I'm past that. Oh. It doesn't matter what kind of rod.
All right, Brad, do you agree?
Same exact
thing. Okay, so best line, are we talking mono, super line, braid? What do we think?
Well, I'll be honest. Most of the time when we're vertical jigging, we're using the fire line.
Right? Right.
Most of the stuff that we use is that 10-4 fire line, 10-pound test, 4-pound diameter. Fire lines. So, yes, I'll use that on a dead stick just as easy. Not on a slip bobber.
Okay.
Slip bobber is a complete mono system.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, when I have my lead or my snell on it, I'll use a fluorocarbon, whatever that is, 3-foot, 4-foot snell. But the rest is just straight mono.
Right. So this is where we differ. The line, we don't differ. I'll do the fire line. To me, it doesn't matter. My rod is going to be probably the 6'6". I go medium light. I like the lighter rod, the little bit less action, for two reasons. One is...
because you're used to it.
Well, that's true.
The less action.
The less action, but that's all married guys. So, but we're when you have that lighter rod and you're using the fire line, I just think when it's dead stick, it's sitting there. By the way, when it's dead sticking, I really don't suggest you have the rod pointing towards the sky or even up very high.
No.
I would suggest you have it almost parallel with the water or maybe on a slight uptick.
Mm.
Well, just for that hook set thought, you know, when that fish first
hits it. I keep
it
parallel.
Well, the only thing about parallel, and it scares me, and I've seen it, and the only reason it scares me is two things. You get a snag and the boat's moving, it'll jerk it right out of that rod holder. Or you do get a big enough fish, and if it like a wiper, and it hits it and takes off, or a big rainbow, and it'll just pull it right out of that rod holder. And I think we're a little more sensitive to our
drag system. We keep our drag set right, so it's not an issue.
Well, I have just
there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Yeah, I watched it happen, so I'm a little more sensitive. So I like to keep it up just to touch, actually, so I can even see that rod tip, especially if they're, you know, if they're just going up there and bumping it. We've all seen those videos where the walleyes will go up and they'll nose it. And, you know, you can maybe give it a little jig or let some line out or something to try to get the fish. So I just like it that way. But I do the fire line. It doesn't matter. I mean, by the time you turn, you know, you get to that rod, that fish is more or less going to have hooked himself. Yeah. So, all right, but at the bottom, what is your favorite setup at the, you know, at the end of your line and bait? What do you like?
Well, you know, if we're in that end of May, June, end of July time frame, where invertebrates are a great bait, so crawlers, leeches. I'm going with a crawler or a leech.
Yeah.
Pretty much every time, and I've really always thought that, you know, that leech had way more action than a ripped in half crawler on my hook.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, we've caught way more fish with crawlers on.
I think the scent on it.
It's meat. Is what they're going after.
Yep, it is.
So what do you use? Do you use an 16th ounce jig head, an 8th ounce jig head?
Well, back to the sled jigs that Brad brought up. So Brad got these years ago at Cabela's, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're Cabela's. They're like a flat bottom. They almost look like a saucer jig or whatever.
Yeah, or like a little sled where, you know, the front of it has got a bend up, and it's wide and flat with the eyelet on top of it. So really what it's designed to do, it can drag on the bottom really good,
but it's nose up, so it doesn't get hung up real bad.
Well, and it can flutter.
When it pops, when it does get hung up and it pops, it comes back and flutters.
Yep, down. It sure does. It catches water and just kind of kicks around. So usually, ever since we just hammered them one time with sleddies, that's what we go to with the dead stick. Because we know it gives that little bit more action. If there's just that little bit of chop, they work great.
Yeah. I tell you what,
What weight, what size?
I like quarter ounce for about anything inside of 20, 25 feet. And the reason why is because it's quick.
Yeah.
You know, I know that when we finesse fish, sometimes you're going to use a 16th or 32 ounce jig on the bottom of a slip bobber, right? And that's just to create the buoyancy for the slip bobber, or else you just, when you put it on there, your slip bobber just go under. So you're trying to match that almost neutral buoyancy on your slip bobber. But I like the quarter ounce jig. It's kind of an all-purpose weight. But it gets down pretty quick. If you're in 15, 20, 25 feet of water, and this is not current water, in a river it's different, but if it's just your standard reservoir, lake, whatever it is, and you drop it down, it's a matter of seconds. It's on the bottom. You kick it. It's quick.
Right.
And it doesn't seem to get drift off. So if you are on spot lock, and everybody that has like a Minn Kota or motor guide that has a spot lock, If the wind's gusting a little bit, it'll pull you around like 3 feet. It keeps you within like 3 feet of where you spotlight, but it's not a true anchor. It's not locking you 100%. So with that quarter ounce jig, if your boat starts moving forward, that quarter ounce jig, you'll start seeing it raise up because you got a 20% angle while it's catching up to get back to its spot lock, but then it drops back down in the zone real quick.
Yeah.
And the lighter jigs just don't seem to do it.
So I'm going to let you two in on a little secret. I've never even told either one of you this before.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Anyway. everybody listen
to
this.
Tune in.
I discovered this last year when I was fishing with Cooper. And I had him out there and we were doing slip bobbers. And I had broke off. So I rig my slip bobbers in a way where I use mono. I run the slip bobber through first. It comes down. I put on one of those sinkers with the rubber core. So, you know, you lay the line in there and it's got the rubber core that pulls out, and you roll the line around the rubber and stick it in. A small barrel swivel and then a leader that is very short, maybe a foot long at most. But it's really light line, like 4 pound test or whatever. And I go down to a 1/32 size head for color and whatever. So, you know, real small head, and I love the leech or crawler. We were catching a lot on crawlers, so this just happened to be a crawler. But anyways, I had broke off, and in the hurry of trying to get tied up, and, you know, we were constantly catching fish. So he's, Dad, I got another one, you know, and he's reeling it in, and I'm grabbing it, and I'm throwing it, and hooking it back up, and casting it back out. And by the time I pick up the rig to start tying it up, I got another one, you know, and he's reeling it in. And so in all the melee, I forgot to put on a bobber. I tied everything up and didn't put on the bobber. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you're thinking, shit, I just did all this work and no bobber.
Again. All the, every day I do stuff like this.
So
learn that from his dad.
Yeah. So,
if you ever fish for this, Dad, every time he's like, okay, how do I do this again?
Yeah. Anyway. The only guy that can put a board on backwards every year. So, anyways,
it says left and right. Anyway.
So, I used one of those rubber core sinkers, and so I just dropped it down dead stick. No bobber. Dropped it down dead stick with that setup. And we started.
Right off the side of the boat.
Right off the side of the boat. We started hammering fish on them. So, I thought, well, that's kind of interesting because I wonder if, you know, that weight is going down and then that light jig head is letting it kind of move underneath. So you could adjust it using the dead stick. So as a dead stick rig in the next tournament, I used the exact same setup, gave myself a little bit longer leader, and I used a sliding egg sinker above the tiny barrel swivel. And I'm telling you guys, that was the deadliest drop rig I've ever had at the end of a dead stick. Because I don't know what it was, but even on the bottom, it allowed almost that Lindy rig line to flow through. The small jig head just kind of moved around down there. And you could use any size,
so
right?
So did you drop the egg sinker all the way to the ground?
I would go all the way to the bottom, and I would let it just kind of bump. And I'd pick them up that
so
way.
Did you have open bail then?
No. I would just let it sit there and just let it bump if we were on some sort of
gravelly. It was more the weight was really pinning it to the bottom. And then with the light line and super light jig head,
it could just kind of move.
It could float around a little bit with, you know, current.
Did
or
you
whatever,
put
right?
Did you put a bead, like a float bead on it to
nope.
make sure?
No, I didn't put a float, which you could. It's not a bad idea. All I did is I put a bead at the end between the egg sinker and the knot to protect the knot so mm-hmm. it wouldn't get... But what it was doing is, since it was at that dead stick angle, it was going straight down. As soon as it hit the bottom, it stopped. I give it one crank, and that was it. So it would tick every once in a while, but that lighter head didn't settle into the rocks like those heavier heads do, and it's just stayed kind of fluttering above the bottom. I mean, it was almost nonstop. And you know, granted, at the time, we didn't catch a lot of big fish. You know, we didn't get our bigger fish on that rig at all. But it was out fishing, you know, because we were pitching jigs up to shallower. It was out fishing 3-4 to 1. I mean, so much so to where you almost just sat there and fished the dead stick mm-hmm. because it was catching so many fish. So that really kind of indicated to me that, you know, look, it really is like the slip bobber rig. You're using the boat as the bobber. It's giving it the action. But if you use that heavy enough egg sinker, and you could use whatever, quarter, you know, or bigger, it was just touching the bottom, but that smaller 1/32nd head would not nestle into those rocks and get hung up. And the fish were coming up and just sucking it up.
I think that's actually a good idea. It's not very quick.
No, it's not quick.
And a lot of times when we're casting jigs, and let's just say my dead stick has a white jig on it, and I'm casting a yellow jig, and I have crawler on both,
right.
casting up. A lot of times I switch my dead stick out. So you couldn't do that with that the option you have, because you know you're not going to cast.
No, it is strictly dead stick. Yeah. It is, you know, and like I said, I mean, if you want to use one of your
slip
bobber
rods. So if you want a dedicated dead stick, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And then the last dead stick trick I'll give you, and we used to do this all the time, and I started to revisit it in the last couple of years. And with the, you know, the creation of Slow Death, we kind of moved away from that a bit, right? We kind of have done this. We used to do this. Now we don't do it as much. Is one of my favorite dead stick options is I will take a bottom bouncer. And if I'm jigging or doing anything else, I will take a bottom bouncer and I will drop that bad boy down on a dead stick. And as soon as it hits the bottom, I'll give it a couple cranks so it's perfect. And I will do a short, maybe 2-foot leader and just a normal size 2 wide gap walleye hook. And, you know, the same ones that we use to tie our spinner rigs.
A Lindy rig or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, just the VMC or the new Fusion hooks by Berkley. And I'll put that out there with a half crawler or a leech. And I'll just let that bad boy just bounce around. And I mean, we're not even going a particular direction like you would think with a bottom bouncer, right? Like you have to be going. And I mean, we're just slowly moving. We're jigging. We're doing our thing. We're casting cranks up to shore, whatever. I will have it off to the deep
so
side.
So this is when you're still moving, not locked in an anchor spot.
Not locked in. Not
you're
locked,
going like,
not
you're fishing a shoreline.
Yeah, you're fishing a shoreline, but you're...
So, no,
you're
that makes sense.
0.5 maybe. I mean, you know, sometimes less depending on the wind or if you got a fish follow or something or you caught one.
No, we've done... So to that trick, we do that same thing mm-hmm. when we're actually moving a shoreline. And no, most of the time, we cast a shoreline at 0.3. Mm-hmm. I mean, I set the trolling motor up and put the autopilot on to be at like 0.3 because you can really work a shoreline.
Right.
But when you're using that quarter ounce jig. Now it's like a 25 degree angle, 30 degree angle, and you're letting a lot of line out. So if we're going to be running a dead stick and we're specifically casting like, well, jigs or
swim baits or
whatever,
cranks or whatever,
whatever you're pitching up there. Yeah, no, we'll do that same exact thing when you're moving.
Yeah.
When you're, I don't think I would use that if you're locked.
Yeah, you know what? It didn't seem to matter. If we stopped to, you know, we caught, started catching fish on a point or coming off a point or whatever, if we stopped and started to cast more, it didn't seem to matter. Boom, those fish would pick it up. It is very interesting to me how that bottom bouncer doesn't seem to affect those fish coming up and whacking.
I don't think
it.
Bottom bouncers scare fish away like a lot of people think.
I mean, it was they were all over it. I mean, you know, and we've all done this, right? Your buddy comes up and you guys are fishing a shoreline, you're doing spinners or slow death or whatever, and you stop and you reel up the rods on that side that he comes up next to, and you're sitting there and you're boat to boat and you're BSing, and all of a sudden your rod's on the other side, the one that had the slow death just starts going nuts. Mm-hmm. It's just sitting there, right? Mm-hmm. Sitting there, slow death is hanging off, all of a sudden it starts going nuts, boom, you got an eye, because mm-hmm. they came up and whacked it. So I thought, well, let's start doing that, and I'll tell you what, if it nets 10 fish in a day and you're casting a shoreline, man, that's 10 more fish than you have the chance to catch if you're just casting.
Well, I think the moral of the story on this, though, is if you're out there fishing and your state law allows you to do it, really, you're crazy if you're not using
the extra optimizing rod. The amount of rod.
Yeah, why not? Because, you know, I would say that a majority of our fish come from actually us working a bait. But there's times when a dead stick outperforms. Yeah. And that's what I want to get out to the listeners, is that it's not going to catch them sitting in your locker, in your gunnel.
Yep.
So put it out there, because it will increase your success rate, right? Well, as long as you fish it smart.
Fishing, for the most part, it can be an odds game.
Whoa. Right.
This is the one odd that you can control a little bit by just get it in the water. Mm-hmm. You know?
And when you do set it up, try to set it up so it's not going to be snagged, because there's nothing more frustrating than you're trying to cast your shoreline, you're constantly reaching back and grabbing that rod because it's hung up.
And that's exactly why I said, when I drop it down, I'll reel it up like a foot.
Right.
Especially if I know I'm in this 15 foot of water. I usually reel it up to the shallowest point. So if we're drifting back and forth on our spot lock and it takes us up to 13, then out to 16, and then 13 and 16, when just a natural movement of the boat, I'm setting that baby at 13. So it never gets hung up. Then it's 3 feet high when it's coming out to 16, because I'm not worried about it. But the thing I do worry about is if I ran at 16 and it's constantly getting hanged.
Well, and that just becomes more of a hassle than what it was meant for. So if it becomes a hassle, you'll reel it up, throw it in the bottom of the boat, and you'll be done.
Right.
But you definitely want to rig it up to where it is as hassle-free as possible, but still in the zone where you're going to catch fish.
Yep.
And I think that's the important lesson with the dead stick is, try it out. You would be surprised, you know. And
don't forget about the dead stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I think we're going to wrap it up, guys. Thanks for listening to us and following us at alleyesonfishing.com and making sure that you're sharing this out to your buddies and stuff, letting them know where they can find this on Podbean, because it's important that we get a lot of subscribers. We've had a lot of success, and a lot of that comes from you guys.
Yep. So we really appreciate the visiting, and don't forget to go out and check our we got shirts and hats now with the All Eyes logo, which we think are pretty cool, and we hope you guys do too. So go order those shirts or hats for the tournament season, and we've got stickers for your boats and trucks, so that would be pretty cool too, and a good way to help support us so we can continue to put out these podcasts.
You bet. Make sure that alleyesonfishing@gmail.com is our email, so when you have comments or questions that you want to ask us and you don't want to do it through Facebook or Instagram, shoot us an email that way. And also, we've started to implement our big bite again. So what's your big bite? We've had photos submitted from a guy that had a sunny. It was his biggest sunny he caught that year. Perfect. We want to put it up. It's just fishing.
Yep.
I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't have to be a trophy walleye, a trophy largemouth, or a trophy pike. Whatever is a cool fishing pick, we want to put up our big bite, because it's all relative to the species you're catching.
Yep. So.
Hey, thanks, everyone.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thank you for joining us. Join us again next time, where we discuss all of your favorite fishing topics. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Check out our videos on YouTube, or read our blog at alleyesonfishing.com. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.